All right, welcome back to The Pursuit of Profit. Today we're going to discuss why I would never invest in a 7-Eleven franchise. Everyone knows 7-Eleven. It's one of the most recognizable brands on the planet. It's open 24/7, on every corner, always busy. But here's the truth most people don't want to hear. I would never invest in a 7-Eleven franchise. Not because it's a bad business, but because it's a bad investment. In fact, the origin story of 7-Eleven is actually brilliant. The company was founded in 1927 when an employee at an ice company in Dallas started selling milk, bread, and eggs outside normal business hours, 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., hence the name 7-Eleven. Southland Ice Company president and founder Joe C. Thompson Jr. saw the success and ultimately became the founder of 7-Eleven. He didn't just create a brand. He created the convenience retail category. I mean, this is a trailblazer, if you will. Today, 7-Eleven operates approximately 86,000 locations worldwide across 19 countries. To put that in perspective, McDonald's has about 40,000 locations globally, 86,000 locations. That kind of scale makes people assume this must be a phenomenal investment. And this is where most investors stop thinking. They confuse brand strength with investment quality. But I say this all the time. You don't invest in a logo. You invest in the unit economics of the brand. And when you peel back the logo, the economics tell a very different story. In the United States alone, there are roughly 9,000 stores operating under the 7-Eleven banner. But here's something most people miss. Between 2024 and 2025, more than 640 U.S. stores were closed. Here's the first deal breaker for me. In a 7-Eleven franchise, you don't control pricing, suppliers, or inventory strategy. 7-Eleven dictates what you sell, where you buy it, how much margin you're allowed to make. I was also told they dictate the thermostat setting. I'm being serious. They take a gross profit split, not a royalty, uniquely different from most franchise concepts. Most franchises are taking a percentage of your gross revenue. In 7-Eleven, they're taking a 50-50 split of your gross profit. That means if your costs go up, you eat it. If your margins compress, you eat it. If your labor spikes, which it has, you eat it. But 7-Eleven still gets paid first. That, to me, that's not a partnership. That is asymmetric risk. And that just flies in my face. It's also important to understand ownership. 7-Eleven is owned by 7&I Holdings. It's a Japanese conglomerate headquartered in Japan. Decisions are made at a global corporate level, not with U.S. franchisee economics as a primary driver. And I think that context matters when we get into the unit economics. Remember, less than 10% of their locations globally are in the United States. Here's something you never heard discussed as well. Selling a 7-Eleven is not easy, even when you find a buyer. It's a true story. I had a client with two 7-Eleven locations in Broward County, Florida. He had legitimate qualified buyers ready to purchase. Corporate declined every single one. No approval, no sale. Eventually, my client mailed the keys to the store back to corporate and walked away. Two locations. Like, that's not a market-based exit. That's a permission-based exit. And I don't like that. And I want liquidity and a clear exit strategy. And when corporate controls whether you can sell, you don't truly own an asset, right? You're just leasing your income stream. That reality helps explain why so many stores, they just quietly close. I bet you most people listening had no idea, you know, over 600 locations closed in the last 2 years. And again, this explains why they quietly close instead of transferring ownership. It is very challenging to transfer ownership of a 7-Eleven in the US. So let's ground this in the FDD, the franchise disclosure document. Let's start with item 7, the estimated initial investment. A 7-Eleven franchise can require anywhere from $142,000 to $1.6 million. This is a massive capital range. And in most cases, you don't own the real estate, you don't control the lease, and clearly you don't control the exit, as we just discussed. You're deploying serious capital into an asset you don't fully control. And to me, that's exposure. That's not leverage. Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising, so they make mistakes. That costs them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, the entrepreneur's guide to fearless franchising. It is our proven six-step process at Phrenosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. Let's walk through a realistic store level example. I think you'll find this very helpful. Let's assume a location does $1 million in annual revenue. Many convenience stores operate at a gross margin of roughly 39%. That means if we take our revenue of $1 million, we have a gross profit of $390,000. Here's the critical part. Under the 7-Eleven model, approximately 50% of gross profit is paid directly to 7 and I Holdings through the corporate structure. The exact percentages vary by agreement, but the structure is consistent. So of the $390,000 gross profit, corporate would share $195,000 and the franchisee would share $195,000. That payment already includes rent and utilities. That's paid upstream, okay? So when you're paying that 50-50, the 50% that you pay to corporate, which is the $195,000, it includes the rent on the property and the utilities, which is why I think they control the thermostat setting because they're covering the utility bills. Now, the franchisee must pay labor, which you know is going to be massive. This is a 24/7, 365 business model. They have to pay insurance. They have to pay for shrinkage. They have to pay for theft. They have to pay for repairs and maintenance and uniforms and marketing, professional fees and payroll taxes. Here's the killer. Labor alone can easily run 25% of gross revenue in a 24/7 model. For those of you listening saying, no, labor should be, you know, 10 to 18%. This is a 24/7 business model, and you easily can achieve a 25% labor number on gross revenue. That's $250,000 on $1 million. Remember, we only have $195,000 remaining. The math doesn't work. This is why most 7-Eleven franchisees are always in the store and behind the counter. And believe me, I speak to them regularly. And while I'm on the phone with them, you hear them scanning items and speaking to customers. And when they get back on the phone with me, I'm like, what a horrible investment. They're like, why do you think I'm talking to you? I want to get out of here. These people are miserable. It's not just bad economically. You can look this up. A lot of these people suffer like emotional stress from even owning a business with this type of operation, 24/7, 365. Again, they're always behind the counter. They're always ringing up customers because the 24/7, 365 labor model doesn't work for a semi-absentee investor. To survive, the owner becomes the labor. And when an owner is the labor, you just bought yourself a crappy job. Even then, many franchisees end up netting around 5%, if that. So 5% of top line gross. On $1 million, you made 50 grand. It's just horrible. So to me, that's not passive income. That's survival income. I don't even know how you survive on 50 grand working, you know, every day. So there's another headwind that few people talk about, and that's foot traffic. Foot traffic in a 7-Eleven store has been flat to negative for years. And it declined approximately 6% year over year in 2025. So think about what I'm saying. So it's like, I want to get into the convenience store. It's a brand built on convenience. It was built 100 years ago on convenience. They're now competing with on-demand delivery. You and I can order something right now on Amazon, and it may be delivered to your front door tonight. Okay, the game has changed. The brand needs to evolve. So they're competing with Wawa, Circle K, Casey's, Quick Trip. I mean, let's be honest. Many 7-Eleven stores today, they're dirty, they're dingy, and they're in need of a major overhaul. It's hard to compete just on convenience when the place is dirty and dingy. So as I said, convenience has evolved and 7-Eleven stores haven't. And this is crazy to say because they were the first to sell coffee in a to-go cup. They were the first to offer self-serve soda fountains. They were the first convenience store to sell gas. So what is the real lesson? 7-Eleven is an iconic brand, but it is not an investor-grade franchise. It offers income without leverage, work without scalability and risk without any control. The question you should always ask isn't, is this brand famous? Is it nationally recognized? I get this all the time. The question you should be asking is, does this structure build wealth or does it just keep me busy? Look at UPS stores. They get lines out the door with Amazon returns. Guess what? The one near me went out of business. So do the math. Busy doesn't equal profitability. So for me, 7-Eleven doesn't pass that test. This is The Pursuit of Profit. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you feature today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.